What's good, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fade Hour, episode 17. I'm your host, as always, Maul. You know, you can find me on social media under the name Bruising Boxing. I'm joined by my usual cast of bandits. I'm going to go ahead and kick it around the room, and then we're going to go ahead and recap this Loma fight, touch on some future opponents, mainly Tank Davis and Loma, and also get into the Canelo card that's coming up this week. But yeah, again, man, this your boy Maul, Bruising Boxing, drinking a triple IPA that's about 20%, so I'm going to be good.
That's what it is.
let's go ahead, everybody. Go ahead, fellas, introduce yourself, and then you know how we normally do it.
Out on bail, fresh out of jail, California dreaming. What up, y'all? This your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. You know what it is with me, man. Right back at y'all with the Cali skin. Got the bronze skin now, you know what I'm saying? California News, you know what I'm saying? That's what we're gonna do at West Coast News. Got the gelato on deck, coming back from the Sour Pebbles. Coming back from the Black Mamba, pause on that. Coming back from the Platinum Girl Scout Cookies, right back to do this live episode of the Fade Hour with y'all. I cannot wait to get into it. Let's get it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke at Free Smoke Boxing. Definitely repping that Ringside Rave. I got that sour tangy, and that's a sativa, so I will be with you guys all evening. And I am drinking Larceny, which is a bourbon that may make you commit larceny. So let's get into this right away.
Yo, what's good, Joe? It's Pat Scorpio, the New England representative, man. And as usual, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, with my my glass of wine. I can't really pronounce the name of it. It's somewhere in my cabinet. But it's wine, so I'm pretty sure it'll have me, you know, have me lit as usual. So yeah, let's get to this, man.
What up? It's your boy P, repping Ringside Rave, Bodega Boxing. And today I'm drinking at the big boy's table today. I got me my bottle of Ciroc Red Berry. Unfortunately, my Ziploc bag could not make the trip, but that'll be for another day.
What up, y'all? It's Leon from Champside. I'm just chilling. I got that shit that killed Bill, so let's get into it.
Let's go ahead and get into it. Episode 17. This past Saturday, arguably a lot of people's list number one pound for pound, Loma, he did his thing. But before we even get into the recap with his fights with Pedraza, I'm just going ahead and kick it around the room. Let's talk about the two fights that was on the undercard. You know, we got Mr. Lopez, who did his thing, and then we had a title that switched hands with Dog Bay getting the dog shit beat out of him.
Now,
shit.
And, 20%.
God damn, mommy. Yeah. I know it's 20%, but damn, have some tact, my nigga. Damn.
I'm just saying. He did. I mean, but dog, what was a little war chant he be saying? What a little motivational chant?
Nee-ho!
Yeah. But yeah, man, y'all go ahead and drop your thoughts on that. I'm going, you know, I'm going to slide it around the table. Yo. Let's pause, you know.
Yo, I'm going to say this, Teofimo Lopez, he wasn't really on my radar before Saturday, and before Saturday, he said, I'm going to steal the show from Lomachenko again, and he did that with one of the knockouts of the year. He took Mason Menard out before many people could finish their first bowl or beer or their second piece of pizza or what the fuck ever. And then you had Dogbo facing like a 5'9", 121-pound Mexican with like 80-inch arms, paws, I guess. And he got touched up some serious. The undercard was fire, though. Teofimo Lopez for Prospect of the Year. Holla.
First of all, I'm gonna pat myself on the back because I was the one that been saying for a minute, Teofimo Lopez is the future. Him and Shakur, 1A and 1B. Shakur is 1A, Teofimo is 1B. And
what happened to that other Mexican though that you was repping?
Oh.
What? What kind of Mexican are you repping? I don't rep any Mexicans, so I don't know who you're talking about. But he looked great. The Beast didn't. I mean, he wasn't there for long, but he made it count. You don't get paid by the hour. So I can get him in, get him out. Got him out there way quicker than Devin Haney, and both of them are ready. So I'm already lit. I'm already hyped over my boy Teofimo. And unfortunately, Dogbo, like you said, got the dog shit beat out of him. And
Packed, man.
I'm sorry, man. But
you got to speak the truth on the fade hour. That's all.
Yeah, man.
It ain't our fault. His chin let us down.
This wasn't his night. Okay, can we say that? You know, he tried. You know, this wasn't his night.
You can't come out there doing all that taunting and chanting in the background, all that warrior chanting, and get sent to the bushes.
Hold on. He didn't get knocked out. Though he didn't get knocked out. He stayed on the wall.
No, he's sent to the bushes.
He should have gotten knocked out if he was gonna get beat up like that.
Yeah, my dog. Yeah, he. Yeah.
Man, like I said, you can't sleep on a Mexican, man, especially an unknown Mexican, but especially a known Mexican who has a work rate, you know, out the ass. Pause. You know, who never stopped throwing punches.
It wasn't necessarily that. I mean, the dude had significant length. Pause. And Dogbo's like 5'2".
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, his punch was not hard enough to dissuade the Mexican to, you know, Navarrete. Yeah, to move forward on him.
Oh, man, don't forget, he was all up in dude face at the final weigh-in, all that Neho stuff.
Come on, Neho.
Man, you can't do all that. That's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, you can't do all that. You can't do all that chanting, all these war cries and all that.
Well,
and take the L. It's over.
I'm going to say this. I think his trainer could be improved because he's... How old is he?
24.
Yeah. Yep. He's a young dude, and you could tell he couldn't adapt because if he threw the left hook that knocks everyone that's like 5'5" out to the body, he would have had dude in serious trouble. The one time that he decided to go with the overhand right to the head, he actually knocked him down, and it was incorrectly called a slit.
Mm-hmm. But then he got his ass beat. Leon, you got some thoughts on it? To see if it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like P said, I mean, I've been up on Teofimo. I met him in New Orleans. He was competing with Regis to try to steal the show. I mean, in the press conference, he was turned up. During the fights, he was turned up. At the weigh-in, he was turned up. So he brings a lot of energy. And I did ask him about Devin Haney, because at that time, I knew that they was, you know, they had went back and forth. And apparently, they say that Teofimo stopped Devin Haney, and he made him quit in like 6 rounds of sparring at the Mayweather gym.
I'm gonna co-sign that because I have actually heard that as well from people over here. I've heard that he made Devin Haney quit. Yeah. I heard that. Somebody told me.
Hold on. So let me get into it. Let me finish my thought. But So I heard that. So there you have it. P said he heard it. I mean, you know, people are in the Mayweather gym. It's the doghouse, right?
If it happens,
it ain't like it's clocked rounds. And I mean, we don't know how it went down.
What happened?
If it was, Pete, do you know the story in detail?
Go for it. I don't know the full story, but from what I've been told, that he beat him up pretty bad. Things got heated over there. I can't reveal my source, but he wouldn't tell me the whole thing. But he let me know that it happened and that it wasn't a good look for Haney.
I also heard
that something a little bit off topic. I also heard that something similar to that happened with Devin Haney and Shakur.
Hold on, Smoke. Let Leon get it off.
I'm just hitting the surface right now. So where I was at. So I heard, you know, so I asked him about Devin Haney when I was there, you know, because people, it was New Orleans. There wasn't a lot of people there. So I had an opportunity to talk to him for a while. And I asked him, I was like, do you see Devin Haney? I said, I got to ask you about Devin Haney. Do you see him, you know, down the line as a, as like, you know, one of your big fights. And he was like, he almost seemed like he was annoyed. Like, he was like, I'm not worried about no fighter unless they got a title. And that's where you see, if y'all saw that clip I posted to him, he was like, I don't want him unless it's a title or it's to be undisputed. So that's the kind of energy he bringing. So when he tell you and that he's fighting Menard and he knows Devin Haney fought him, and he like, I'm not gonna have a similar performance. I'm way different. And the way he knocked that dude out, it shocked everybody. It shocked that dude, you know what I mean? He literally was shocked. And so, I mean, I was just, that was a crazy KO. And I remember, I think Ringside Rave or, you know, somebody might have posted about the prospects. Y'all had Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney.
To my next topic.
Yeah, and I was, I was like, I don't remember if I replied on the thread or what, but I've been thought that Teofimo Lopez was in that because he got that grown man strength already. You know what I mean? Right. He don't fight like a Haney or Shakur is coming a little stronger now too, but this dude, he trying to get you out of there from the jump, and he's crisp and he's powerful. So that, and then on Dogbo, man, he didn't come with it. I mean, it almost makes you wonder, did you spend too much time chanting and all that stuff?
Right.
And not focusing on what you needed to do, because the guy was long, and like Pat said, he was very active. But it just, to me, stylistically, it was a bad matchup.
Dogba, or whatever, didn't take enough time to prepare for that fight.
You kind of got that feeling, but if I think after the second round, he had one of those, oh shit, you know what I'm saying, kind of moments. But no, I was going to ask everybody, I'm glad Leon brought that up. You know, I want to say about 5 or 6 casts ago, we did have, you know, everybody here kind of unanimously felt that Haney and Shakur, I don't know what everybody went.
I do.
You're right, right.
My list. I still have it the exact same way.
I was going to ask y'all, have y'all list changed when you ranked Lopez, Stevenson, Haney, and Garcia?
No. Nope. You know, now they've I remember that because I was the one that posted that.
Right. Okay, go ahead, P.
No, my rankings for them off of skills and talent to me is still the same. It's still Shakur's number one, Teofimo's number two, Haney's number three, and Ryan Garcia's number four. But the thing is, 1 through 3, they're all really fucking good. They're all really good. They're almost all like if you interchange them and put any of those three at one, I can't be mad. You know what I'm saying? It's just my personal opinion. I have Shakur at the top, but I can't be mad at anybody that puts Devin Haney at the top because I think he's really, really good too. So it's a preference. I can't be mad at either three.
Right. I think we all came away unanimously that Garcia was by and large number four. Of course. Yeah, I think we all agreed on that. Though the other three might be interchangeable.
Right. Can I ask y'all something though? I mean, is that just names? Because don't forget about Carlos Baldera.
Yeah, Baldera. Right.
Because that dude, if y'all paying attention, all these dudes, they got a little history. Got a little history because Balderas and Teofimo, apparently, I also heard that Lopez was the rightful winner for the Olympic spot, but somehow Balderas got it. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't verified it, but I heard it. And then you also got Balderas what's your boy name? Balderas and Teofimo, Balderas and Ryan Garcia. My bad, Ryan Garcia.
Yeah,
Teofimo and Rolly rolled up on Ryan Garcia as well. So it's a lot of shit.
So I don't have Balderas up there because
Balderas, I think we said we just need a little bit more, right?
Yeah. I need to see more of Balderas before I can just not, no disrespect.
He's only six in.
Yo.
So I can't just put him up there with Teofimo Lopez. You know what I mean? 6 fights in, it's to his
career. He will be up there.
To have the proper respect. Yeah.
So, Leon knows, and all y'all know, that I'm a Balderas fan, and I will say that he is at 5 looking in. But he has the ability to be up there with Teofimo. It's just he hasn't fought recently. I mean, Leon and I saw him fight on the Mikey Easter undercard, and he beat the shit out of the dude. But since then, he pulled out of the fight, and I mean, I really don't know what's happened since. With respect, yeah, I mean, pretty much, like I was saying, ain't shit. So get back in the ring, Mr. Balderas, and then we will get back to supporting you hardcore. But Teofimo Lopez went way up on my prospect rankings, like all the way to 1B.
I still have Kevin Haney and Shakur Stevenson as the top two. I don't look at knockouts to determine fighters. I need to see Devin Haney versus Teofimo Lopez, but I'm going to put Devin Haney above him because I think Devin Haney has more room to grow in his skill set and what I see him doing with what I see Teofimo Lopez doing.
A month from now, he'll be back in the ring too, just plugging that in.
That they're all close. They're all A. Now, don't get me wrong. They're all A. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to rank them. Somebody got to win a gold. Somebody got to win bronze. Somebody got to win the silver. So that's how I would have it.
I'm just waiting for more separation between Mr.
Yeah, Rick. They're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really too hard to break it down or go into too much detail. But what I can break down and go into detail is another prospect people need to keep their eyes out on is my boy Charles Conwell, who actually will be returning next time. I found this out when I was out in Cali. Somebody had told me that Charles Conwell is from Cleveland, actually from Cleveland Heights. He follows Ringside Rave too, so shout out him.
Yeah, he does.
I heard he's Olympic, youngest Olympian in U.S. men's boxing history. That's what we're talking about, Charles Conwell. He's actually fighting in Columbus next weekend. I think I might have to go down there because I don't think the ticket's going to be too bad, so I'll drive the little 2 hours down there. Hopefully,
yeah, he'll be in the ring with Manny Woods, so yep.
And he had a knockout in New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
People got to keep an eye out on him, man. Like, Charles Conwell is nice. That boy been putting in work here in Cleveland for a minute. I heard about him when he was, like, 14.
Wow.
Like, they were talking about him. So, yeah, he's a beast. I'm surprised he went up to – I mean, I'm happy he dropped down to junior middleweight because he was fighting that middle. So, that's another prospect just to keep our eyes on in the future.
But shoot, man, let's not waste any more time, man. The main event saw Loma do his thing. A lot of people, I saw a mixed reaction, so I want to go ahead and kick it around the room. Pat, you know, we had an interesting talk about that in the chat about Loma and how he looked post-fight as far as judging him on his standards, at his, you know, how we look at him. So how do you think he looked? How you thought Pedraza looked? I think a lot of people not giving him credit for how he made Loma earn the victory, in my opinion. So I just wanted to kick around and see how you felt about it.
Well, I mean, you know me. I have my own views on Lomachenko more than everyone else in here. I don't hold him as high regard as you guys, but I do recognize he is a skilled fighter. In this fight, it was clear to me that his shoulder, he wasn't 100% confident in his shoulder. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he fought really tentative. He didn't really use his right hook all that much. And Pedraza's movement and defense was giving him fits. You know, it was really giving him some fits. I mean, and that's why the fight in itself, like especially in the first half, was so slow, because they were trying to really try to figure each other out. You know, just I think they were a little cautious or whatever. And it was a hard fight to score. It really was. Mm-hmm. Although, like Lomachenko did, I think he landed his left hand a lot more than us. And then as it went on, you know, Lomachenko, you know, he turned it up, and Pedraza really didn't at this particular point. And then, of course, he had the 11th round where, you know, where Lomachenko fucking like knocked Pedraza around like, you know, for like a solid 3 minutes of that. And how Pedraza survived that fucking round, I don't know. He went down twice. I don't know how he survived it. But he got up, you know, he survived it, and, you know, he ran the first fight. So, I mean, I give Pedraza all the credit in the world. Like I said, you know, he gave Lomachenko some trouble. Mm-hmm. But Lomachenko, you know, he showed that he was, you know, he was able to adjust and get that decision. What I do think, though, is Lomachenko is reaching his ceiling in terms of, you know, in terms of his divisions. Like, to me, because, I mean, even though I don't think Pedraza hit him all that much, Lomachenko's face was a little bit marked up than usual, surprisingly. And just that whole performance just has me thinking that 135 is his limit, and he really shouldn't go any higher than that. And, you know, And I'm just, and he may, you know, he probably should go down to back to 130 or whatever, you know, unless he's just, you know, he wants to tough it out and see how far he can actually take this at 135. But I mean, that's just my opinion.
Man, Loma didn't even want to move up. He didn't even have to move up. Everybody demanded he move up because everybody was ducking him. I'm going to make sure we keep that out there. That Loma was already at 126. Nobody wanted no work with him. Loma was already at 130. Nobody wanted no work with him. Loma had to move up to 135.
Who was there to work with him?
Anybody that had the other champions, Smoke. The other champions.
He was he didn't want no work.
He called them out. Come on, man. Come on. He called them out. Secondly, what we're talking about here, what we're talking about here with Loma, he won the fight. He unified the championship. This is what, 13th fight, 13th professional fight, 4-time champion, 3-division champion.
He's a monster.
A beast. Number one pound for pound fighter in the world.
Ooh.
At the end of the day,
pump your brakes and drive slow.
I mean, unless you have a valid argument as to why he wouldn't be, at the end of the day, every fighter don't go into every fight and fight champions who are bigger than you, who are much naturally larger than you, and come out unmarked every single fight.
I mean, it is what it is. Mikey Garcia does.
Mikey Garcia ain't even fought Loma's competition. We're not going to talk about Mikey Garcia. We don't talk about Loma.
I'm just saying.
Loma on his fight, he went out here. He did have a competitive fight with Pedraza. He did get marked up, but like at the end of the day, like I said, he brought back another championship back to the Ukrainian Dream Team. 4-time champion, 4-time champion, 3-division weight champion, number one pound for pound fighter in the world. Show me any fighter in the world that's fought a resume that Loma's fought in their first 13. We can talk about it. If not, we can't talk about his pound for pound status. We can talk about the fight. It was more competitive than what we want, because everybody expects Loma to go out there in Matrix and make him quit like he did Rigondo, make him quit like he did Nicholas Walters, make him quit. That's what Loma does. So he's fighting at the Michael Jordan. He's playing against Michael Jordan. He's playing against Ghost. You can't even compare Lomachenko to everybody else because you're looking at him to dominate everybody he's fighting without getting marked up. He got knocked down one time against Linares, and everybody went, oh my God, oh my God. He forgot that he was moving up to fight Linares, who was the champion for, 13 years?
And then stop them.
What happened
with the conversation. How did you think Pedraza looked on the other end?
Pedraza has skills. He's not the best fighter. Pedraza's like a, if anything, Pedraza is like a B plus fighter.
Solid B fighter. Yeah.
He's not a bad fighter at all. He's not a great fighter. But Pedraza's
B-.
He's a good fighter.
Leon, I mean, what you think, man?
I mean, I think Pat alluded to it with the shoulder injury. I think, you know, he was a little more hesitant and a little more patient. But I mean, I think I like Loma. I think he's an entertaining fighter. And in the 11th round, I mean, yeah, he threw 42 shots. He didn't stop him. But I mean, it was exciting to watch. Like I said in the chat, a top fighter just let their hands go. Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of what we want to see. We want to see that. I mean, I don't put that much into this fight because, I mean, I feel like fighters have, you know, off nights where they mess. Or maybe a style makes that not so good for them. But I think it was just a combination of things. But, you know, I understand why people giving them, you know, that heat. Because if you say you number one, then you got to look like number one when you step in the ring.
Yes, sir. So,
I mean, everybody going to have their opinions, but he clearly won the fight. So it's like, does it matter? He fought with an injury. And then if you watched it, Andre Ward said, you know, and I'm sure some doctors could tell you, he said that you need 12 months to heal from a shoulder injury or a shoulder surgery. So, I mean, if that was Keith Thurman or somebody, you know, you wouldn't see them jumping in the ring, you know.
Jose Pedraza at that.
Yo, let that one slide.
I had to, man. That was just...
Bro, you set your own... You threw it off the backboard to yourself with that one, dog.
And Loma's an aggressive fighter. That's another thing.
When was his last fight?
Who, Loma's last fight?
Yeah.
That was against
Linares.
That was in March.
You know, Tank and Loma, we've touched on that over a few casts, but how do y'all feel that fight would go? I mean, I know Tank's been pretty inactive. Floyd tried to
Floyd talking about making the fight earlier this year, that didn't come. Tank had a little feelings about it, but yeah, after that performance, does that fight become a little bit more intriguing to y'all, or do y'all still lean, who y'all lean towards picking that fight? Because I still pick Loma, but you know, I want to swing it around the room and get y'all opinion on that, on that potential fight down the road.
It all comes down to one thing, Ma, the struggle. It depends on whose struggle shows up first. If it's going to be Tank struggle with his weight, or Lomachenko struggle with his shoulder.
And let me ask you this, Pat, on top of that, like, what will Tank do that you think could trouble Loma? What does he have in his arsenal that could give Loma a long night?
Power?
Well, before Tank, you know, succumbed to candy eating, you know, he was pretty intimidating. Like, you know, like dude used to do was aggressive, like super aggressive. And I don't know if Lomachenko, I mean, he didn't handle that too well with Salido at first, you know, until Salido got a little tired and then it was too late for him. But I can see Tank. If Tank got himself in shape and got his mind right and went back to that aggressive mind state, that would be the one thing I would say that would trouble Lomachenko if they ever fought.
But at this early prediction, if that were to ever happen. But I know there's not enough context in it because Tank has been inactive and stuff.
Tank has been getting fat. That's what he's been doing. He hasn't been doing shit.
Tank, we gotta
make a prediction.
Yeah. An early prediction. Just throw it out. There's not enough context.
Pat, say KO Tank because that's what we all know you think.
Well, you don't know how I think. You know in my mind. So if I had to make a prediction, that I would say Lomachenko would win. It would be like a late round stopper, just something like that. You know, Tank will probably get broken down. You know, but you know, that's my early gut feeling prediction.
What about you, P?
Oh, I'm still going Lomachenko unanimous decision. I haven't wavered from that yet.
Same here for me. I haven't ever seen Lomachenko struggle with an opponent the way we've seen Tank struggle with that one guy that one time.
On the Floyd on the card?
Fight. So when fighters show me there is a possibility that you can do that against that level of competition, I got to think that what happens if that fighter shows up against the number one pound for pound fighter in the world.
Yeah.
So
I don't think the Tank has anything that would make it a long night for Lomachenko. A short night, yes, but not a long night. The Tank is going to be a long night for him if he doesn't get him out of there.
Yeah, I can see Tank. I can see Tank knocking out anybody. That's the thing with him, though. Like, you know how we talk about Deontay Wilder?
Yeah.
That's it. That's what it is with Tank, except for I know we bring up, I love Deontay Wilder, Bomb Squad, but Tank's power in his weight class, with his hand speed and the way he throws, is much more vicious to me than Deontay Wilder's, because Deontay Wilder's a lot sloppy with it. When he's throwing, Tank is not throwing sloppy bombs trying to get you out of there. Tank is throwing missiles, and he's very accurate. So I can see him rocking Loma, and if he does that, he could possibly put Loma out. I mean, that's the only way I can see it, though. I don't see him beating Loma via UD. I don't see that. I can see a split decision because of knockdowns, maybe early in the fight. But if I'm putting my money on it, I'm going Loma. I'm going with the more skilled fighter all the time.
And he's a Ukrainian, so you know we don't bet against that.
Kane, you do not bet against Ukrainian.
So let me ask, what is this at 135 in 2019?
135.
Hold on, let me drop my shit because you almost touched on it. I'm picking Tank. I already said I was picking Tank. So Loma is 30 right now, and I don't see Tank. I mean, Tank's not in the rhythm. Like I said, he's not active. He's not going to fight Loma in the next 2 years, I don't think. And if Loma's 32, 33, and, you know, he's not waiting, as we know, he's what, 12 fights in, and look who he's fighting. He's not fighting no jobbers. He's fighting champions back to back to back. So if he continues like that, he's going to have a lot of wear and tear. And they're not gonna fight until Tank is firing on all cylinders. He's in a rhythm, and it makes sense, you know, especially if he's under Mayweather Promotions And I think all the advantages will be with Tank. I mean, I think if they fought right now, Loma would just outwork him. Period.
Just right now. In the future, yeah. I'll be Tank too.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't even look at it right now because Tank hasn't... He's fought, like I said, he fought once in 16 months. And he's right. And he looked like they say, he looked like a middleweight at the Porter and Garcia fight.
Tank saying he want that work now, though. So all I could do, if you're going to say set the fight up and all this stuff, I expect you to make the fight.
I just want to know why he didn't feel that way in February and March when that was brought up.
I don't even care. If you feel that way now, make that fight in 2019. If we go 2020, I'm going to say that it was just, honestly, I don't like when fighters do that because where it's boxing and you're a champion, other people are champions, and other fighters actually do step up and fight the best fighters. Don't call out fighters, talk back and forth about them, but then don't fight them. Tank can fight him if he went, because I thought, like y'all was saying, I thought Floyd was trying to set that up last year. So that's a fight that can be made. So hopefully it does happen this year. If you gotta wait till I lose a step, then I mean, you can beat me when I'm not in my prime, but you couldn't beat me in my best.
You mean, but like, it's not just that though. It's the politics as well, right? Because we're not getting Crawford Spence. You know what I mean? That might be 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm. I don't see Loma getting out. I don't see Loma being past his prime anytime soon. He's not that old. Like, what'd you say? He was 30. Niggas turn 30 every day.
So
look at his fight class though. He's at 135. He's not a heavyweight. They age a lot faster.
Yeah, and he's at his max weight. He's at his max weight. Somebody brought that up. I think it was Smoke in the last segment talking about Loma at 135. But at the end of the day, when you meet your max weight, that's as far as you can go. We've seen what happened to Andre Ward when he moved up to light heavyweight.
So I'm going to say this, and it is no disrespect to Lomachenko, because Lomachenko is a fucking beast. When Tank gets to 135, which I think will happen at the end of 2019, if he fought Lomachenko then, it would either be a KO by Tank or a split decision going either way. So that sounds a little flaky. Like, yo, Smoke, you're not making, you're on the fence. Yo, but it ain't like that. Tank could KO Loma easily because Loma has these little flaws. Very, very, very tiny flaws. Like, he backs up, whether it's straight or with an angle, with his hands down. He also, when he throws the jab, let alone a double jab, he doesn't always bring it back. So Tank's money punch being the right uppercut or left cross, let alone doubling them, and then facing a southpaw like Lomachenko. If Tank fought Mares that he's fighting, I don't know, December, January, or whatever, then fought another middle-of-the-road guy in June, then fought Lomachenko in 2019, December, no Mikey Garcia being spoke of, I think that Tank would take it because he's shifty, he's quick, he has power. Beyond all that, when he's engaged in a fight, he has that heart to him. And he has a destructive force, like almost like someone was saying about Wilder, or even more like a Mike Tyson. When he gets that look in his eyes like, yo, I'm gonna fuck you up, he does it. Whether you're Lomachenko or Floyd or whatever. And I ain't gonna speak to sparring sessions, but people say words and that's it.
On the zone, anybody interested in the card? How y'all feel the main event's gonna happen? Canelo's going up to 168, saying that that's gonna play into his advantage. Because he, you know, we all know how big he likes to get paws. mega paws. So, you know, but yeah, news, I know, you know, how you feel about this fight and this card in general?
Well, I like the card for the simple fact that I'm a person that goes to my events for the A-sides. I mean, some people go for matchups, I go for the A-sides. So So if I was going, if I was able to go to that, if I was in New York City and it was, I was able to go to a fight and I could see Tevin Farmer outskill somebody and possibly stop him. David Lemieux sent somebody's equilibrium into the bushes. And then Canelo go and win his go get the champion at championship at 168. And I know people are saying, well, it's not a real championship. Not listen, man, it's a WBA championship. It's the same belt that Manny Pacquiao got right now at 147. It's the exact same belt that Rocky Fielding has.
What about when Lucas held
that? Lucas had right. that.
Right, yeah.
You downplayed that belt when Lucas had
was it.
Was
it real?
I caught it. I caught it. I mean, because you downplayed it when AB got it the first time. When the AB regular. Got it originally. To me, it's
don't
innocent.
Even remember it's a, that.
AB got it from Khabib Ali Khabib. That's what we got it. That's where he got that belt from. Because y'all wouldn't let me live. He won that belt because that was the night Matisse beat somebody. Damn, I forgot it was. Matisse was fighting that same night. But anyway, yeah, I would love to see that card. I'm definitely going to tune in. I can't wait to see Canelo back and get, like I said, become a champion and have that junior middleweight, super middleweight, three division champion.
No. No.
You want to be a three division champion?
Oh, I mean, that regular belt? I mean, I'm going to have to call the WBA.
What can I do about it?
News. Huh? Yeah. We gonna have to go to the WBA and be like, to hell. For real, having a regular champion, the super champion.
Right. Especially when Caleb Smith just went out and got that one that belt through that tourney. But that is kind of disrespectful to Caleb Smith. Think about it. We just watched him win the super middle tourney like, what, 2 months ago? Three months ago?
And then Caleb Smith actually KO'd Rocky Fielding in one round. You know, that's Fielding's only one loss. So it's even
It's disrespectful to Caleb Smith for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so WBA, when you start listening, which will probably be too late, get that regular belt the fuck out of here. Because who wants to be a regular championship? I mean, being a regular champion is like, I don't know, being a regular dude.
Yeah.
That's a basic championship. You're a regular champion.
Honestly, that should be.
Don't get me wrong. I make $35,000 a year. I drive a 98 Ford Taurus. But holla at me, WBA. I want to be one of your champions.
Honestly, that should be annoying because, like, you got like four different variations of the same belt: the regular, the super, the vacant, or the interim. Like, what the fuck? The interim. Like, that should be getting me like annoyed. And I'll tell you something that I don't know. That just annoys me because then I look at him like, what the fuck? Why y'all got like three different champions with the same in the same organization? And like, what the fuck?
Man, you know what?
Yo, so I ain't trying to have a foursome with regular ass bitches.
It's a regular.
Yo, so regular could you champ. Imagine if Meek Mill made an album called Championships and then made another one called Regular Championships and Intercontinental Championships and North American Eastern Suburbs. Right. Wu-Tang championship.
Imagine they did that in every sport. Now this for NBA champion.
Yo.
You're the regular champion of the season. That's crazy. So whoever wins so this year wins the Super Bowl. Whoever loses the Super Bowl, we're gonna call them the regular champion.
No. Because the regular champion, had the best record in
the regular season. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, and we can call the winner the super champion, the loser the regular champion, and then we can call the Eagles the interim champions.
Damn.
Wait for the
diamonds and the emerald.
Yo, we
can. Yeah. I mean, you know, my team would win a Super Bowl, motherfucker.
Diamond, emerald, silver. Like, they got a lot of championship belts. They
really,
and, but you know what? The one that gets
that should be bugging me out because, like, especially when I have the picture, get a picture with, shout out to Jamal Charlo, but like I take a picture with him and he's got his belt on, the WBC belt. I'm like, ooh, I like that belt. And then I'm like thinking, I'm like, wait a minute, you're not even the real fucking champion. What the fuck? Why are you carrying around the belt? You're gonna make people think you're the actual champion.
So, P, what version of that WBC belt did Charlo have?
He's the interim.
Okay, so it's like if he gets lucky and he works 40 hours a day as a coffee boy, he might get to fight
Canelo. He deserves it. If anybody deserves the interim championship, it'll be Charlo. He should proudly wave his around because they don't want GGG or Canelo want no work with him. And I've been saying that since Jamal Charlo been at 154. I'm a huge Canelo fan. I've been saying they never want no work with
James
Jamal Charlo.
Kirkland.
They don't want
Andre.
Pick anybody else. They never say Jamal Charlo. They want no work with Jamal. So if you did,
yeah, even
his interim championship belt is legit for me. He deserved it because he got it.
He's the mandatory. He's the mandatory. That's essentially what he is.
You know that Canelo, and I'm a minor Canelo fan because he has kind of like tendencies. Canelo wouldn't fight Big Charlo unless he got like, I don't know, 96 million.
That's a weird number.
All this Canelo talk is making me mad because I remember that I missed him at my job. He was at my job and I fucking just missed him.
How did you miss him?
I was in the locker room and somebody was like talking about, oh, boxer, he's not that small. Like, then they're talking boxing. I'm like, wait, who are you talking about? It's not that big. It's like, oh, Canelo. I'm like, what? And they're like, oh yeah, he's upstairs doing some promotion. So I'm like, I take my shit and run out. And fucking I get there, it was like, oh, you're looking for, yeah, you just missed. I'm like, fuck. I was like, what the hell is he doing here? I guess I didn't realize that. I guess that I found out he was doing some promotion for Hennessy.
Oh, that's what I'm drinking right now.
They have a Henny booth at my job where they have people selling Henny. And so, like, he went there to promote it. And I noticed it. Like, if I would have looked at my Twitter, I probably would have been able to catch him because I have I follow the Hennessy app. And the Hennessy app had Canelo there. It's like, oh, Canelo's at Grand Central promoting Hennessy. And I missed that. So I didn't see it until after he left. Like, fuck.
Yo, so I'm going to say this. So Canelo promotes Hennessy and vice versa, and that is literally the only time that we have seen Pat say, "I won't drink Henny."
Henny what? Henny Pat?
None of that.
You know what? We absolutely have not talked about the actual goddamn fight.
It ain't even really nothing to talk about.
That's the funny part about it. I was like, we don't give a fuck about the fight.
I'm here in New York and I'm still not going to see it. You know it's bad when I fucking prefer. You know it's bad when I'm turning down to see Canelo to go to a goddamn Jets game and the Jets are fucking eliminated from playoff contention.
Yo,
how
much are the tickets?
It's Canelo.
Did
y'all peep the fight poster though?
Nah.
They made sure they made Canelo look even more small compared to him, so that it looks like you know, as soon as you see it, it's like, oh, okay, he's smaller. You know, it just don't look, you know, he looks a lot smaller.
To the casual eye, right. We think it's Canelo. Yeah.
But I don't even care, man. My boy Canelo could go up there and do what he got to do.
Canelo got fucked up.
Go get this easy work. His last two fights was GGG back to back.
It might be a third one.
I'm not complaining. Hey. I'm not complaining.
Keep going there and get this easy work. You know what I'm saying? Get his Vonis Montes Rosian out the way.
News, as you mentioned, you know, his last two was GGG. And recently, last 24 hours, we saw May 4th has been reserved for a possible, you know, Canelo and Triple G. We don't know what's going on, but I don't know if you saw it, but that T-Mobile Arena got reserved by Loeffler, you know, and Golden Boy. So
it's a lot coming. Of
people think that maybe the third fight might be in May 4th, which is my birthday.
It's coming.
But, you know.
I don't even want to see that fight so soon, man. I want to see them go beat somebody else.
I was about to ask y'all, do y'all think Triple G deserve a rematch right off the back, or should he go earn it? First of all,
I don't like to use the word deserved, especially in boxing, because it doesn't really matter what you deserve or not. You either get it or not. It just I see Triple G just wanting to fight Canelo.
But you know what I mean when I ask that, like, should Triple G, shouldn't he have to, you know?
I'm okay with it because, unfortunately, whether you agree or not, in the eyes of the majority, most of them believe that even though the first fight was officially a draw, most people believe that Triple G won that fight. So in the eyes of the majority, it's 1-1. Got to have the rubber match. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So why not? It makes the most sense financially.
But you know how a lot of us in boxing like fresh matchups, and we like Triple G Canelo again. Because we got some killers at 168 that want to get in, and just you see what I'm saying?
All right, is there anybody that's more realistic that could get the fight, like that you'd rather see one of them fight instead? Realistic.
I like to see Canelo versus Jacobs.
That's the only one I was gonna say. That's realistic. Canelo and Jacobs.
Because I seen GGG versus Jacobs, and I thought Jacobs possibly could have got that win.
Right.
So I would like to see Canelo versus Jacobs, and I'd like to see GGG versus Jamal Charlo.
And there's a guy.
So
and there's the IBF. There's Boo Boo out there too.
Yeah. So
that'd be a great fight too. Canelo versus Jacobs and Andrade versus GGG.
Because Triple G doesn't have a bell. You know what I'm saying? he ain't got a bell.
So Andrade, I think he could split decision Triple G. I feel like that every fight that Triple G has with someone that doesn't back down right away, it takes off like 2 years from his career. So if he is in fact fighting Canelo again, I could see it being the last fight of his career, because the amount of left hooks to the face and body that he took, I mean, that could put someone down for a serious amount of time.
And, but he still ain't put him down.
I mean, so,
never mind, that Canelo hasn't stopped anyone in quite a while. Canelo couldn't even stop fucking Chavez Jr., and he was weight training. Smoke, speak some sense. He hasn't stopped anyone.
I'm going to say this. If
Canelo isn't dropping Triple G, that's not going to happen.
If Triple G would have beat Canelo, we would not have had to see Canelo face Rocky Fielding. And that's the total fact.
No, it's not. Oscar's going to preserve him. And Oscar was going to face Rocky Fielding, win or lose. If he lost, Rocky Fielding would have been...
It's funny now that you're... I was laughing at my job, because one of the guys there that's a casual was asking me, fighting this... who's Canelo fighting this weekend? Rocky Fielding. And he dead-ass Balboa. Like, that's how bad this fucking fight is.
Yeah. for people who got the zone, you know, it'll be on there. And for people who don't, will y'all activate y'all free trial? You know,
they're actually showing it in the movie theaters. I don't understand it.
I mean, I'll watch it later. I'm not gonna buy the zone because I'm not even gonna be around to watch it. I'll catch the rerun online.
No, I wouldn't. I don't know. I'll be myself. I'll watch it. Like I said, I want to see Canelo get that third champ, become a three division champion.
Rise higher in the lore
of the Mexican greats. Only probably rise to a level that Mikey Garcia could one day hope to be. That legendary Mexican warrior fighter.
Damn,
Canelo. Yeah, That's when we talked about that.
I'm looking at when Canelo gonna KO him. I mean, I think he gonna KO him with a body shot like he did Liam Smith.
So what round
y'all think I should drop the
bet?
Seven, eighth.
I think it's gonna take that long though. I don't know, man.
I'm not gonna bet Canelo by KO.
I'll be honest. I haven't seen Rocky Felden fight before in my life, so I'm not. I don't know. With that being said, I probably say around between 8 and 10.
Like Pat said, he beat on Chavez Jr. for a long ass.
Get him out of there.
And Chavez was, you know what I'm saying?
A punching bag.
Look how he looked in the last Triple G fight.
He hit Triple G was still standing.
Still standing, never hurt.
Heavy bag.
But that was Triple G.
Yo, so I'm going to say this. Triple G has not been cleared for a fight, and his last fight took place 2.5 months ago. So the commission thinks different than we do.
But I think that's because he's not trying to angle for a fight yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If he needs to fight,
he'll get cleared.
You're kind of reaching there, Smoke, but yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, go ahead and wrap it up. News false.
Smoke had like 4 pauses today.
Yeah.
Yo, man. Once again, it's your boy News representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. I'm here with my brothers. I'm gonna give my little speech and then get back to this gelato. So I'll say thank y'all for tuning in. We on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Google Play, Podomatic, everywhere. I'm gonna turn it over to my brothers. Let you know where you can go find them, follow them, and support the whole squad, man.
Hey yo, what up y'all, it's your boy Smoke. Y'all caught me earlier trying to sign off early, but I stayed intact, so go follow that Free Smoke Boxing at Free Smoke Boxing Twitter, Instagram, no burps included. I got the highest high grade.
My bad,
holla at me.
Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, man, it's Pat Scorpion, New England representative. I'm the one who just burped just a couple seconds ago, man. You know, that wine, you know, I felt it in my stomach. Pause. So, yeah, man. Like I said, man, if you know it, probably just type in Pat, you know, and then autofill with Phil and the Scorpio, man.
Pause.
Nigga, that's not pause shit, nigga.
No, pause at what you said even 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, sorry.
I felt that shit in my stomach.
Y'all know where to find me, man. You know, these actors, man. Hell, next person, yo.
P? Yo, what up? It's your boy P, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Bodega Boxing.
Follow me at the Champ Side. Shout out to Ringside Rave and the Fade Hour, man. That's it.
Bet.
Yep. Bet, man. But yeah, I guess, you know, thank y'all for tuning in. Episode 17 of the Fade Hour. Leave y'all comments, feedbacks, everything, man. It's much appreciated, man. All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
All right, y'all.
thank you guys for listening to Ringside Rave. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.